Blog Talk Radio.
I dedicate this song to recession, depression, and unemployment. This song is for you.
Today's a new day.
There, podcast land. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. This is a Hodge to Hodge podcast, the Messenger Edition. This is Nurse Carmen. We have co-producers Ken and Ron Hodge. And now we'll have a conversation with the Messenger, Ron Hodge.
Good evening and welcome once again to our conversation. I'm here tonight to tell you that there is no evil. You are perfect, just as you are. It is true, a tree is no less perfect because it is a seeding. A tiny infant is no less perfect than a grown-up. It is perfection itself. Because it cannot do a thing, does not know a thing, that does not make it somehow less perfect. A child makes mistakes, stands, toddles, falls, stand up again, a bit wobbly, hanging on to her mommy's leg. Does that make the child imperfect? I tell you, it is just the opposite. The child is perfection itself, wholly and completely adorable, and so too are you. The child does not know right from wrong. And neither do you. I know that it's wrong to kill people and that it's right to love them. I know that it's wrong to hurt and right to heal, to make things better. I know that it's wrong to take what is not mine, to use another's, to be dishonest. But I could show you instances where those wrongs could be right. So it's with these are exceptions to a rule. Then it is not a rule. So am I saying that it is not wrong to kill, to hurt, to take from another? That depends on what you are trying to do.
Yes, amen.
Mm-hmm. See, that requires a lot of explaining, Brother Messenger. Because if someone is hearing that,
uh-huh.
and you know, they could definitely take that way out of context. So if you would, could you embellish on explain what that, when you say your last statement, just explain that to people. Because I don't think that they really understood. They heard you say something, but I don't think that they really got it.
All right. I said that in my question, as I presented it to all, I said, am I telling you that it is not wrong to kill, to hurt, or to take from another? Then I said that depends on what it is that you're trying to do. But depends on what that what you're trying to do. So I'm not saying that that doesn't make these things good. Sometimes one has to do bad things to achieve a good end. Okay, so if you have to do a bad thing to achieve a good end, does that make it bad?
No.
It's just a means to an end. So,
exactly.
So am I saying that the end justifies the means? So what do you think? Do you think the end justifies the means?
Sometimes.
Yes.
Okay, so be it.
Because if I come into my house and someone's beating on my loved one, I'm going to take the nearest thing to try to knock that person off my loved one. And in the event of that person's demise because of that action, I think I did the right thing because I was saving my loved one.
But see, we would go a little further with that, and what would more qualify that is after you knocked them off your loved one, now
right.
What you going to do? See, this is where that thin line, because right up until now, you know, you come in the house, somebody's on your loved one, and you hit them with whatever. Right up until that point, everybody's in your corner. But now that you have them separated from your loved one, what are you going to do to them then? Are you going to continue beating them?
Let me tell you something. My daddy always said, you go big or go home. So I'm telling you, with that first knock off,
right.
That's probably it.
That's going to be it? Okay.
Probably, yes.
But if that ain't it, and you knocked him off of your loved one, I'm just saying, would you continue to beat him?
I pretty much would, yeah.
See,
yeah.
And this is what people say, you know, again,
yeah.
I understand you knocked him off. But once you knocked him off of your loved one, and again, and they didn't present a threat, do he still get beat? Because he had no business coming in your house anyway. Which I understand, but that's
right.
Where the real wrong part comes in at. Because if it's God, like, God separated you. So you have no fear right now.
Well, because his presence is still close by, to me, that's a threat. However,
now, once again,
I'm not saying using a weapon. I'm not doing that.
And that's why I said,
Yeah.
And that's why I said, do you still feel threatened, or is there a threat? Only you, that person in that moment, can
at
honestly
that moment,
perceive
exactly.
That. Right. So if
exactly.
At that moment you still perceive a threat, then it is totally justifiable and understandable that you continue
right.
Beating whoever it is that person is. But after you
right.
Separate them, and again, only your heart can answer this. You understand
correct.
That you look at that person and they're not a threat to you right now. Now, if you continue beating him, then that's not right on your part. It's
mm-hmm.
This is what I'm saying. Me
right.
Personally, I'm going to be that person that it's not right on my part because I'm probably going to beat that person. But, you know, again, I hope that at that moment, you know, God touches me and says, hey, easy, brother. But without that touch, yeah, without that little reminder, yeah, that person's
right.
Pretty much going to get beat.
Right.
Okay. But don't you see what you're doing here? You're making up the rules as you go along. And don't you see something else? That's perfectly okay. It's what you're supposed to do. All of life is a process of deciding who you are and then experiencing that. As you keep expanding your vision, you make up new rules to cover that. As you keep enlarging your area about yourself, you create new do's and don'ts, yes and no's to encircle that. These are the boundaries that hold in something which cannot be held in. You cannot hold in you because you are boundless as the universe. Yet you can create a concept about your boundaryless self by imagining and then accepting boundaries. In a sense, this is the only way you can know yourself as anything in particular. That which is boundless is boundless. That which is limitless is limitless. It cannot exist anywhere because it is everywhere. And if it is everywhere, it is nowhere in particular. God is everywhere. Therefore, God is nowhere in particular because to be somewhere in particular, God would have to not be somewhere else, which is not possible for God. There is only one thing that is not possible for God, and that is for God to not be God. God cannot not be. God can, nor can God not be like itself. God cannot un-God itself. God is everywhere, and that's all there is to it. And since God is everywhere, God is nowhere. And if God is nowhere, where am I? Now here. So what I'm saying to you is, this is what we've got to understand, that it's about each and every one of us creating ourself anew. Mm. And a lot of these different things that we've said it in a sense that if we do it, it's going to be a knock on us against God. And because there is no knock on it, because in spite of whatever it is that you do, you have to understand that you are still connected. We've got to start seeing it from a different perspective than the right and wrong sense. We have to understand, if this is the path that you've taken to create you on who it is that you want to be, then is it wrong? And I'll use an example, as for instance, with a drug dealer. Sell, he want money. So he found the best way for me to make money is to sell drugs. We look at it at him selling the drugs as bad, but it's a way to a means for him. And in his sight, it's not wrong. Because why? He is achieving his ultimate result. So does that become a bad thing? I got what I wanted. Now, is that a bad thing? But that's what you wanted. So we have to understand that these boundaries and stuff that we set up, these are us every day changing rules to make it fit what we want. There's a lot of things today that we believe that there's a lot of things today that we believe and we do today that 20 years ago we wouldn't do. But as we come to create ourselves anew each day, some of the things we can now do. So now, back to what my co-producer said. Does that make a little bit better sense when I said the fact that
yes,
you
it
are
did.
Perfect as you are. Huh?
Yes, it made a little yes. And again, I knew where you were going with that.
Right, understood.
Right.
Go ahead, my brother.
No, I'm good.
Oh, okay. Do you see how you have created your ideas of right and wrong simply to define who you are? Do you see that without these definition boundaries, you are nothing? And do you see that, like God, you keep changing the boundaries as you change your idea of who you are? Now, what I'm going to tell you now, and it may be difficult for some people to understand and accept it, is going to violate much of what is held as truth in your present thought system. Yet, I cannot let you go on living with these constructions if we are to continue with these conversations to serve you. So what we must now meet head on, it's going to be bumpy going here, but for a while, I'm going to tell you this. Once again, there are no rotten apples. There are only people who disagree with your point of view on things. People who construct a different model of the world. And I'm going to tell you this. No person does anything inappropriate given their model of the world. Then you say, then their model is all messed up. I know what's right and wrong, and because some other people don't, that doesn't make me crazy because I do. They're the ones who are crazy. And I'm saying to you, I'm sorry to say, that's exactly the attitude which starts wars. ends friendships. That's the attitude. And I'm going to leave that conversation that we had before we started the show alone, but this is what I'm talking about. This is what I'm talking about. Depending on your model of the world. You can tell that people's ideas of right and wrong change and have changed over and over again from culture to culture, time period to time period, religion to religion, place to place, even from family to family and person to person. You could point out to them what many people considered right at one time, burning people at the stake for what was considered witchcraft, as an example, is considered wrong today. I can tell them that a definition of right and wrong is a definition established not only by time, but also by simple geographics. You could allow them to notice that some activities on Earth, prostitution, for instance, are illegal in one place and just a few miles down the road, legal in another. And so whether a person is judged as having done something wrong is not a matter of what that person has actually done, but of what he has done it. But of where he has done it. Now, as I've said, as we've had many conversations, I'm going to say it again. Hitler went to heaven.
Like, where else could he go? I mean, that's the only game in town. Yeah, but you know, I know it's hard for people to understand that, but it's not like a choice.
That's right.
And that is correct, bro. You said you took the words right out of my mouth. It's the only game in town.
That's right.
You know, because he couldn't, just as the co-producer said, he could not have gone to hell. Why could he have not gone to hell?
Because there is no hell.
All right, now, that's our conversation. We know these things. And if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Now, if we know that there is no hell, then what we need to be able to understand is that we can live a little bit more freely because we're not, quote unquote, looking out for somebody watching us or God marking down everything that we do and deciding if it's right or wrong. So that should give us a better perspective. And now I'll clear it up because just as the co-producer said, I don't want people to get the wrong idea. And we have to understand if we start doing from within the things that we'll start doing, we will notice that some of the things that we do from within, it defies what people have told us is right and wrong. I'll give you one of my prime examples. Everybody will tell you right now, it's wrong not to go to church on Sunday. And I just use that as an example. They told you that, but we now know better.
That's right.
So the rules have changed. And I don't want to spread rumor or anything like that, but the Smiths. Will Smith, everybody talked about they had, quote unquote, an open marriage.
Mm-hmm.
It's why.
Mm-hmm.
It's because the two of them agreed.
But they had an understanding, huh?
All right, there you go. And because they had that understanding, as they say on Living Color,
yes.
They still together.
Yes.
Together after all this time.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yes. I'm just giving you a little bit of that old Negro touch for you right now.
Okay.
Yeah, that's something. Come on now. Come on, son. Yeah, come on, son.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I'll tell you this.
What you call
death is the greatest thing that can happen to anyone.
Amen. Amen.
As a matter of fact, I was watching a study on 60 Minutes tonight, and it was talking about how they had gave some people, it wasn't addictive, but it was a hallucinating drug. They were doing experiments.
Yeah, I've seen that.
And when they gave them those drugs, they came to the understanding that as the co-producer said, this is the only game in town. There is nothing to be afraid of. And a lot of our things that we do and don't do is because of fear. But if you realize that you had nothing to be afraid of, what would you fear? Would you do more?
Yep. Yes.
And so this is what we have to come to understand, that we are the creator. And as I've said to Nurse Carmen so many different times, a lot of the things that's going on in our life, we look at it as drama, but we have to understand we created that. We called
that's
that
right.
for.
That's right.
We called it forth, and then we look, and then because we called it forth and we don't like it, instead of us just changing it, we look for someone to blame. But the things that are going on in each and every one of our lives, if anybody could find a reason or a real reason that somebody else did it, I'd love to hear it. Because when you get to the root of it, it is something that you did. So this is what the real message was about before I got the church, before I got all that. It's just coming for us to understand.
I was at the pre-show, messenger. I was at the pre-show. All right. He said, and you could just save all that.
No, it's okay. I want us to understand how much of control we are, because a lot of times what we do is we take the control, we give the control to other people. We give it to other people. And now, please hear me out, and especially you, Nurse Carmen, hear me out.
Yes.
By no means
yes.
am I trying to insinuate that this is something that I want to do.
Okay.
All right? I'm not trying to insinuate that. I'm just trying to say, for those that do.
Right.
If that's what you decide, then there is nothing wrong with it, because it is your world. And a lot of times the same people that'll tell you that that's wrong, they're doing it. It is for you to decide. And because and when you start making that conscious decision to make your own choice based on what it is that you want and not what it is that people have told you, then you're living your life to its fullest.
Right.
I ain't mentioning no names. Some people want to be naked all the time, but they say, no, you can't be naked. You understand what I'm saying? But naked
yes,
is how, according to yes. the story, naked is how we came into this world.
That don't make them bad, messenger.
That's
right.
what I'm saying. That don't make them mad, exactly. But some people would look at it as a disgrace. So they calling that bad, but is it really bad?
No, it isn't.
But once again, what's happening is we're making up the rules as we go along.
That's a funny way to look at it, but it is so true.
Yes.
It is. Whether they're bad rules or bad ways that they're making it up, or we're making it up, but you're right. We adjust life to situations, and depending on the situation, it's going to depend a lot of times on exactly how you react to it.
And you're reacting to it, once again, you're reacting to it from the data that the mind has. And if you remember some of our other conversations we spoke on, the mind only has limited data, 50 years of data,
right.
per se.
Right.
Some of us 60.
Right.
And that's all the data that the mind has. But when you go within to the soul has the data of the entire universe. From what we call its conception, since there was really no conception, because it's been. It is what it is. And it's always been. There was never a time that God wasn't God. And so there was never a time that you did not exist. Why? Because you are part of the body of God. And your soul has all of that knowledge. It has the knowledge, and what it's doing here is trying to get the experience. And that's what we, there's a lot of things that we know, but it doesn't mean anything if you haven't experienced it. This is why growing up, a lot of times your parents will tell you, don't do this, don't do that. They've experienced it, but you haven't. But you still do it because you need that experience so that you can make the call.
Yes, yes, yes.
And just so that I can show y'all that God's word can stand on his own, okay? And even in those relationships, I'm back to
you
it.
Ain't
even
me,
in those,
you're not letting it go.
Because it keeps coming back to me to let us know.
Yes, sir.
To let now once again, I'll say it again. We gotta take ourselves out of this and look at it as a whole. And as creating our lives, and this is how we begin to see. Then what will happen is, even using that scenario, what will happen is when we see people doing quote unquote these things that we think are wrong, we won't be so quick to judge. And so this is why this is being brought up, not so much to do, but for us to realize that just because we don't want to do it doesn't necessarily make it a bad thing. See how the Lord just brought that all back full force so that you could better understand, because somebody was about to get hurt up in here.
Say it ain't so, Rev. Say it ain't so, Rev. Say it ain't so.
Every event is an act of God. Do you imagine that an event could take place if God did not want it to? Bring it on home.
No.
Huh?
No.
Do you
no.
think that you could as much as lift your finger if God chose for you not to?
No, can't do it.
Do you understand that you can do nothing if God is against it?
That's right.
Okay, so if I can get an amen on that, then let's think about some of the things that we said was so wrong and couldn't be done. Come on, give me some wow now.
I'm just letting you do your thing, messenger. Because as Peter said to the prophet Jesus, now that water kind of deep right now, and I see you handling it. So I'm gonna stay right here. where you are, you in the deep end.
And what did my brother Jesus tell Peter? Come on out. Come into the deep water.
Yeah.
It is where you need to be. We've been in the shallow water for so long, and being in the shallow water has prevented us from seeing the ocean in all of its beauty. Because if you go out a little farther into that ocean, you'll begin to see some different things. You go from the little gulpies to the big things.
Okay.
Bless you. At this time, my brother is—it's his turn to share his truth with us. He wanna help the messenger out here, because I just want what the messenger said today for us to just think about in what I'm saying, and not to use that particular instance, but any instance or any circumstance.
Okay.
Using that as an understanding with regards to right and wrong and what is good for us and bad for us. Go ahead, my brother.
Hearts to Hearts on Blog Talk Radio. I thank you all for listening to the podcast this evening. I hope that a word was said that, again, that will make you open your understanding or open your ability to accept a new concept. And on that note, I'm going to say good night, Cass, and we'll talk to you on Thursday.
Amen.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.